Well, tonight's topic is guidance. We want guidance for real life decisions. Should I be an engineer or a police officer? Should I work at home as a mother or work a less demanding but better paying job out there somewhere? Should I marry Sipo or Senzo? Should I live in South Africa or Australia? Should I buy or should I rent? How much should I spend on such and such? Where should I send my child to school? And on and on and on. And these are real decisions. They're important decisions. But how important are they? Now, based on how we act, we would think they're very important. They're clearly important to us. Some of us spend a lot of energy and time anxiously seeking God's will. We want to find a direct, personal word from God on a specific decision, like a lightning bolt from heaven. But is that how God normally guides his people? Here's the thing. God is a tender-hearted father. The first nine chapters, as you heard as it was read in chapter 3, the first nine chapters of Proverbs, it's in the voice of a tender, loving father pleading with his son, "My son, I'm begging you, listen to my guidance." He's a loving father. What does a guide do when we think about guidance? What is guidance? Amy's parents, my wife's parents, flew us to Argentina a few years ago, and we hiked up this beautiful mountain, but it was dangerous. There's cacti and steep cliffs, and what did we do? We hired a guide. The guide kept us on the path that led to the top of the mountain where there was a beautiful waterfall. Without the guide, we would have been lost. We probably would have died. It was a dangerous mountain. See, a guide keeps you on the right path. That's what guidance means. God guides us to walk in the way of wisdom that leads to life. When the title says the good life, yeah, it's good life now, but ultimately it's the life to come. Listen to Proverbs 4, verse 11 to 12. It might appear on the screen. "I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble." It's the way of wisdom. See, left to ourselves, we will die. Proverbs 16, 25. "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death." See, we bring all of our questions and we want answers about all these decisions. But as we read Proverbs, there's really one decision to make. One. It's easy. The choice is clear. Will I walk in the way of wisdom or folly? That's what guidance is about. Listen to Proverbs 4, 18 to 19. "The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining even brighter until the full light of day." It's one path. "But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." Ultimately, there are two ways to live, as Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7. See, God does clearly guide us to walk in the way of wisdom. See, and it's important to say that because some of us, when it comes to guidance, we almost treat God as if he's hiding what he wants from us. Like he's keeping what he expects away from us. He's not like that. He's not a cruel, unstable dictator who's impossible to please. That's somehow how we treat him in prayer. What does he want from me? I never know. No, he's a loving father. He has clearly revealed how he wants us to live. He's provided clear guidance, which is liberating. In fact, do you have the bulletin? Anybody have a bulletin on them? Because there's such clear guidance. If you want to know God's will for your life, it's written there every single week. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." That's it. There we go. End of the sermon. I should sit down now. Crystal clear guidance. It's not hidden. That's what I want you to hear in the introduction. It's not hidden. The most important decision you will make in your life is not where should I live or who should I marry, But will I fear the Lord Jesus? That's it. It's that simple. And I could actually sit down and you'd be edified, I think, hopefully. Now, with that big picture in mind, let's let the wisdom of Proverbs guide us. We're going to consider 5 points on how to be guided by God's wisdom. And here's the first thing. Listen to the Bible. Now, you're probably thinking, duh. And I think when I hear preachers say that, well, duh, the sky is blue and a preacher's going to tell you to listen to the Bible. But that's especially important when it comes to guidance. The whole book of Proverbs is designed to give us guidance. Let me refresh your memory. Chapter 1, verse 5. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. You may not realize it, but over the last several weeks, each evening and the mornings, God has been giving us guidance in the evenings through Proverbs. Guidance, guiding us to enjoy sex only within the liberating limits of marriage. Guiding us to be diligent like an ant, not a lazy slug. Guiding us to be generous, not stingy, and on and on. That's all guidance. He's been guiding us. Listen to Proverbs 4, verse 10. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. Words. God's words guide us. We need to hear that. Not horoscopes, not sangomas or fortune tellers, or even some people will go to the pastor as if he has special words of knowledge. No, it's God's words in the Bible. And of course, if you look at chapter 1, verse 6, we need to understand what these proverbs mean. That's why we prioritize teaching. Because it's possible to read the Bible the way a fortune teller or diviner reads bones. So you ever do this? You flip open the Bible. Here's what I got. Matinee of Jed. What does that? People read the Bible like that. What does God want to say to me? I'm just going to flip open to a random page and that's his direct word for me today. No. One of the most important roles for Good Enough and Andrew, whoever is teaching, is to help us to understand how to read the Bible for ourselves so that we hear God's voice for ourselves guiding us. We need to treat the Bible with care and not just treat it carefully, but dependent upon God in prayer. It's his words. The Spirit has inspired these words. So we need to ask him to help us understand it and give us a soft, obedient heart. Because here's the thing. It's as we take God's words to heart, as we inwardly digest them, that we grow in our personal relationship with Jesus, our wise King. And he shapes our character to be like his. And so as our character is shaped from the inside out, we'll make wise, godly decisions. Character being shaped, becoming like Jesus. Now, that's hard work. It's the Spirit's work, but we participate. There's no shortcuts. That's why phony guidance appeals to people, because you can be lazy and get it. Spiritually lazy people like shortcuts. Let me get a lightning bolt from God. And it may sound very spiritual, I'm trying to discern God's will, but as Bruce Waltke puts it, quote, this assumes that you can know God's mind without having his heart and his spirit. Guidance does not work like that. We need to listen to God's words. If you feel lost lately, we need to ask ourselves, am I regularly and inwardly digesting the Bible? Am I reading the Bible humbly, prayerfully? Because the Bible is our source of guidance. Secondly, to obtain wide guidance, we need humility, a humble attitude. We need to humble ourselves. Now, we use this language a lot. I need to humble myself. What does it mean? It's to lower ourselves under God's word, which means we must lower our own view of ourselves. I'm not talking about false humility, where, you pretend in public that we're no good at anything. That's not what I'm talking about. This means having a healthy suspicion of our motives for wanting something. Listen to Proverbs 16:2 again. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. And you can see it means that he weighs the heart from that other verse in chapter 21. You've probably noticed this in yourself. You tend to assume the worst about other people's motives. But the reality is that we're blind to our own impure motives, which blurs our decision-making. That's how it relates to making wise decisions. Paradoxically, the wise person is a fool in his own eyes. And so when confronted with a big decision, he asks the Lord to help him discern his heart's motives in light of God's word. And you know, sometimes we say things when we're confronted with a big decision. We'll say, brother, let me pray about it. And that may just be to avoid making a big decision and to sound spiritual in delaying. But let's assume we actually do pray about it. What should we pray? How should we pray? We should not pray. I think what we do is we pray for a lightning bolt. Don't pray for a lightning bolt. Pray for the Lord to shine his light into our hearts, to help us see our motives. Why do I want this particular job? Is it out of selfish ambition? Why do I want my child to attend this particular school? What's the reason? What's driving this? Is this motive honorable to the Lord? And of course, I love what Goodenough said a few weeks ago. The only times our motives are perfectly pure is when they're pure evil. Right? We never have perfectly pure motives. But asking God to reveal our hearts, confessing our wrong motives to him, asking for cleansing can help us see things more clearly in his light and make wiser decisions. Again, no shortcuts. Now, I love you guys, and I know we've all made unwise decisions. And we might feel very bad about those and like our life's over because of them. How does God treat us when we make foolish decisions? He treats us with humility. In God's wisdom, the high and lofty Son of God humbled himself. He became human just like us. And he, the one person who lived wisely, who feared his Father, who lived reverently, obeying him right to the end, he humbled himself to death on a cross for foolish rebels like us. At the cross, the only man with the heart of pure gold humbled himself for impure fools like us. And it's in him that we are wise, through faith in him. And as we see Jesus' perfect humility, which gives us the freedom to confess our evil motives to the Lord and trust him, we'll grow in humility and make wise, godly decisions. And you know, the other thing is when we do make foolish, proud decisions, it's painful and God disciplines us because he loves us. But you know, God in his grace, he not only forgives you in Christ Jesus, God in his wisdom can use even foolish decisions we've made with bad motives to bring us good, to bless us. I've been reading St. Augustine's Confessions. And he reflects back on his life and he says, look, I went to, I think it was first Rome, and then I went to Milan for bad reasons, secular ambitions. And the Lord used that to bring him to a bishop, Bishop Ambrose, who told him the gospel clearly. And through even all that evil in his own heart, the Lord saved him. There's grace for us because God's a good God. He gets us back on the path of life. Now, don't let that encourage you to be fools, but there's grace. Here's the third thing. Seek advice from wise people. There's three of them that will appear on the screen. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Proverbs 15:22, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. And Proverbs 20:18, make plans by seeking advice. If you wage war, obtain guidance. That last verse, it just look at it. Seeking advice is paralleled with obtaining guidance. It reshapes how we think about guidance. It's getting advice from the one who's wise. Now, we shouldn't seek advice from, say, Pastor Goodenough for every little decision we have to make. No. Goodenough is not your life coach. We will wear him into the ground if we're always asking him to decide, make decisions for us. But when you're confronted with a big decision, it's often wise to seek advice from mature, wise believers you trust. Not just the pastor. Look at this room. And on Sunday morning, look at the room. Christ Church Pinetown is blessed with plenty of older, wiser believers. We often don't think of it, at least young people don't, as an asset. There's a wealth of wisdom here. Now, when we seek advice from others, we need to be willing to hear things that we don't want to hear. Otherwise, we're not seeking advice. We're just seeking a rubber stamp on our already made decisions, which is to be wise in our own eyes. And if you think about it, why is it so important? Why is it so wise to get someone else's perspective? Well, for one, as we talked about, we're blind to our own sin. I mean, I'll illustrate this. If you ask a husband, how are you doing loving your wife? He'll probably say, yeah, okay, I'm doing, yeah, fine. Ask his wife, and you'll get a crystal clear answer how he's doing. We don't see ourselves clearly. Amen. My wife would be saying amen too. We don't see ourselves clearly, so we need outsiders. If we're about to make a decision that's driven by folly, we may not see it. Our friends can help us see it. So we need advice. It's also wise to get advice simply if we're young and inexperienced. You know what this means if you're younger? Actually, for all of us. We should cultivate friendships, not just with Christians our own age, but with older, more experienced believers. Did you notice, as it was read, that King Rehoboam, Solomon's son, he took the foolish advice of his young mates rather than the wise advice of older people? You know what the result was, if you go on reading? Civil war, divided kingdom. Now, I have the privilege, I think, of dealing with King Rehoboam types every week on the university campus. And you know, one of my frustrations with student ministry and young people ministry is when it becomes isolated from the local church. What a shame. What a waste. Students miss out on a wealth of wisdom from older, experienced believers. That shouldn't be like that. And so what about us? Do you make an effort to cultivate relationships, friendships with older, wiser believers? This isn't in the script, so I got to be careful, but one of my joys in the morning is seeing someone like Nondumiso chatting with older, wiser people who are probably 40, 50 years older than her. It's great having tea together. Do you have Christian friends who are wiser and older than you? Who are older than you? Now, for some of you, that might literally be impossible or close to it. Are you looking out for young people who you can invest in? You can disciple and pray that we would have the humility to receive your wisdom. You know, I've seen King Solomon's wisdom play out in practice on this point. In the past few years, our family has made a couple tough decisions, and I leaned on what I call an unofficial advisory council. 7 different friends, different ages, different perspectives to hear my thoughts and provide insight. And I'll tell you one thing. They saw things that I would have never seen. And it'll be the same for you. Of course, we need to develop our own convictions. You know, sometimes after weighing up people's advice, we'll go in an unexpected way out of fear of the Lord. But it's wise to get wise people's perspective. And so who's on your personal advisory council? Do you have one? Doesn't have to be lots and lots of people, too many people, it'll be a problem. But who's on your council? Choose your advisors counselly. Do they fear the Lord? And do they know you well? Because some people, they don't know you that well, and they try to turn you into mini-me, a mini version of themselves. They have a different agenda for you. It's not always God's agenda. Parents, watch out for that. That doesn't mean you shut out that person completely, but weigh up what is said with who is saying it. Seek wisdom. God guides us through wise people. Fourthly, think decisions through. I'll keep this one short. Christianity is not a mindless religion. Romans 12, 1-2 tells us we're transformed by the renewal of our minds and hearts, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. As our minds are renewed by the gospel, we'll make decisions in line with God's will. With a renewed mind, we'll think carefully about the consequences of our decisions. Now, some of us, I include myself in this category, we tend to overthink things. We start thinking 20 years out, which is foolish because if, as Proverbs 27 says, don't even boast about tomorrow, you don't know what a day will bring. So if you are a overthinker, just trust the Lord, as Proverbs 3:5 says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, and he'll make straight your path. An all-wise God is in control of your life. He has you here for a reason, wherever you are. As a friend in the States told me, just focus, if that's you, if you're the overthinker, focus on following the Lord faithfully today in light of Judgment Day, one day at a time. Now, some of us don't think enough. Proverbs 21:29, a wicked man puts on a bold face, but the upright gives thought to his ways. You know, when you hear someone, they've committed adultery or killed someone while drunk driving, and you think, what were they thinking? They weren't thinking. That's what sin does. Stop thinking about the consequences. So think things through. That new job opportunity, what will that do to your family? Your church family too. Overspending on something, what is that going to do to your cause strain in your marriage maybe? Think things through, including the long-term implications of decisions, which ultimately means think in light of eternity, as we heard this morning. The Lord will hold us to account on Judgment Day for how we lived. That's how we're to think. And if our confidence is in the Lord Jesus, we don't have to fear judgment. He's taken it for us. And out of a relationship with him, our daily decisions will reflect that we have a relationship with him. We'll be wise. Fifth and finally, enjoy your freedom in Christ. Enjoy your freedom in Christ. What I want to say here is that a guide is just a guide. A guide is not a drill sergeant, okay? Let me illustrate this going back to the hike in Argentina. That guide, he clearly directed us. He said, look, watch out for that green frog. Be careful on that slippery rock, etc. But he did not dictate our every move like a drill sergeant or an army official. Left, right, stop. He doesn't do that. If you're on the path, there's freedom on the path to make free decisions as long as we stay on the path that leads to life. Okay? This is liberating. We're to follow Jesus by listening to his words. That's what we should focus on. And he taught this in Matthew 7, which will appear on the screen. The wisest man builds his house on the rock, on Jesus' words. The fool builds his life on sand. So it's clear. If you build your life, if you listen to Jesus' words, you're wise. That's all you need. And if we're listening to him obediently, he is guiding us on the narrow path that leads to life. But here's the thing. On that path, Jesus does not dictate our every decision. He gives us freedom within the boundaries. And so this is liberating. If Senzo and Sipo both ask you to marry them, then pick the one you want to marry. Period. And rejoice. And actually, Paul says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 about remarriage. As long as it's someone who's a Christian, you're free to marry in the Lord. If you want to be an engineer to the glory of God, etc., etc. Enjoy the freedom you have in Christ. Follow him, fear him, and he will guide you. And I want to close on that note. Dear friends, guidance is not as mysterious as some people make it out to be. God's providence is mysterious. What he expects from us as far as guidance, it's not. It's clear. Follow Jesus, who is himself our wise guide, who is the way and the truth and the life, which means read your Bible humbly, get advice from other believers, think carefully. But those points are really saying one thing. Be led by the Good Shepherd, Jesus himself, through those means. Let's pray. All-wise Father, help us to humble ourselves and be corrected where we need to be corrected. And help us to follow Jesus, our Good Shepherd, our guide, the one who's died for us, the one who's walked this path already for us, and who's leading us to eternal life. We pray this in his name. Amen.